Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet 50 bucks at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app or visit WYNN.com and start winning today. And we're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over under game. Just head over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And of course, don't forget to go download the SGPN app for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, D-Dens, for a very quick recap of the Byron Nelson and a preview of the PGA Championship. It's major week, baby. Let's fucking go with your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, you ready?
I am ready. I'm very ready to move on for that bullshit Byron Nelson tournament where I knew my card was garbage from the jump. I apologize to everybody, but you know what? My track record of handicapping these birdie fest where everybody's going low is not very good, but we're going to have a real field this week and a real golf course, and I'm much more optimistic. So yeah. I'm a little down on what happened.
I'm good.
You were up and down last week, but you had some big scores. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, wait, it's the first round Lina Muniz, right? So that was a beautiful thing. The rest of the card, absolutely fucking blanked. Blanks. Possibly.
What's the last thing that happened to you?
I was about to say, I don't think this ever happened.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's ever happened. So, I just like Steve, I do probably not great other than Neiman. I thought Neiman was sure to lock my fucking top 20 up. So I immediately went to matchups. I went 10 of 11 on matchups, over the weekend. So, that was nice because I bet those at a unit apiece. So, I ended up for the weekend, and then second week, Ian. Came in fifth in the mini max. I like my results so far, and I would have took down 50K in the big one. So I don't know if I can, do this for another couple of months and, convince the old lady to, let me just do this for a living. That would be nice.
That would be nice. Yeah. Maybe we can upgrade our studio too.
That's right.
Yeah. AKA my kitchen. So in full disclosure, I was on the golf course most of the day. I basically celebrated my birthday a week late. I didn't really watch much of this tournament. I saw Cage Lee is now Mr. Byron Nelson, Mr. TPC. Are they going to change the TPC Cage Lee?
Yo, bro, he hit this fucking 4-iron. I think it was on 12. Which one was the scoreable par five?
I don't. They're all scoreable.
No. The par fives that were actually scoreable.
Yeah. Number nine, a 470-yard par five. Number nine.
No.
What a joke that is. I don't care if it's into the wind. That should not be a par five.
That's fine. Fine. Whatever. But he hit this beautiful fucking 4-iron out of the rough to like 6 feet. And like he knew he hit it so it was on a downslope too. And he like ran across the fairway to try to see where it landed. It was an absolute beautiful fucking thing. Yeah, it's 12. So he hit it on 12. And it was like, yeah, that was it. Like you could kind of tell. And he made so many clutch, like 6 to 12 foot par putts, like going downhill, coming down the stretch. Casually, 100% deserved this win. He grinded it out. He played fucking great this weekend.
All right. Well, congratulations to him. Guys did not play great today. The aforementioned Joaquin Neiman.
What a bum.
What an asshole.
What a bum.
I'll go a step further than that. I was in the cart with my buddy Jay, and we're just sweating it. I'm like, how is Neiman plus two at this bullshit golf course?
Terrible.
And then JT, how the hell did he manage to push with Xander?
It's not so much on JT. It was just that Xander.
I know. Well, I mean,
nuclear.
I know, but JT had like what, a 6-stroke lead on him. That sucks.
Yeah, but I mean, went nuclear today. What are you gonna do?
All right. Like,
what are you gonna do?
I know. So, all right, I'm ready to move on. Are you ready to move on?
I'm ready, baby.
All right. Let's talk about some quick notes about the field before we get into the golf courses and betting strategy. So, I think the only like real contenders who are going to not play this week are Sungjae.
Oh, is he officially out?
He's not officially out, but it's not looking good. So basically what happened was he tested positive. I didn't even know he was over in Korea going to go play an event over there.
Yeah.
Pop for COVID. South Korea has very strict COVID rules.
I'm pretty sure North Korea probably has stricter rules.
Well, North Korea has a lot of strict rules in general. But in South Korea, they have very strict rules. So he had, I don't know exactly what the rules were, but I guess there were, it was to be determined if he was going to go in quarantine or not. If he had to, then he was probably going to miss the PGA. I don't know what the update is on it, but it's not good.
Wow.
Which is too bad.
Poor Sungjae.
I kind of liked him for Southern Hills.
Yeah, he fits nicely.
He fits very nicely, as we're going to talk about. Paul Casey, I think, did everybody did a favor and withdrew today.
I wish he fucking didn't. I wish he waited until after lock again. All the Paul Casey fucking slappies that, as Matthew Wiley calls them, can just fucking just eat it again. Like, people who bet on him and then complain after he withdraws are the worst people. Like, you know what you're getting. Like, I know what I get when I bet the guys who I bet. You know what you're getting when you put your money behind Paul Casey. I don't want to hear you cry about it.
What is it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me three times, fuck Paul Casey.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the old rhyme. Yeah. All right, so there's that. Phil Mickelson's not going to play. Basically, I think the PGA told him to go away again.
It's such bullshit, man.
I know, but you know what?
Listen, whatever. We don't have to get on a tangent, but the fact that like they've let these guys go over and play in Saudi all the time, and until there's been a rival tour, now it's a fucking moral issue. Go fuck yourself. Like that's not what it's about at all with the PGA. So they can get off their high horse and fuck off. Like it's
I don't think it's just a Saudi thing. I mean, a lot of his gambling stuff came to light last.
Oh please, everybody's known he's gambled forever.
I get it, but like it's not. He is basically a PR dumpster fire right now.
I don't know. Whatever, man. Everybody's always known it forever. And I wonder who leaked those stories. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. It's just the same old bullshit. Whatever. Like, I think it's bullshit that he's not allowed to come back and do it. And I don't know. I think Barney Hand's a cocksucker, too. So, whatever. Who cares?
All right. And then Tiger's going to play.
Yeah. Shocking.
I don't think either of us are really going to talk about him much this week other than some props. 10 seconds. What's your expectation for Tiger this week?
I don't know. Maybe even make the cut. Maybe, if that. Like, I have no expectation. Okay. He's not even in my thought process.
All right. I don't think he's going to do well this week. I think this is going to go kind of poorly for him. I wish he didn't play this.
I don't know. I mean, listen,
I don't see the upside of him playing this tournament.
He's Tiger, so listen, maybe he fucking plays well. It's Tiger. Like, I don't know. You can never underestimate this guy. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, but he's not on my card. Like, whatever.
I mean, I think it's one thing to play Augusta that, you know, like the back of your hands, it doesn't have any rough, versus Southern Hills that's going to be hot and have 3-inch Bermuda rough and is going to punch everybody in the mouth all week.
Is it going to be that high, though? I mean, I know it's going to be thick, but is it going to be that high?
I think it's going to be 2.5 to 3.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I'll know when the GCSAA puts out their official thing. But it's from everything I have read about Southern Hills, the Bermuda rough is thick and wiry. And that is a very big key thing that we're going to talk about tonight. I think there might be something that maybe people are going to underrate this week. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple examples of other PGAs with similar setups that I think we can't ignore. So why don't we take a break and then we'll start getting into it.
All right, listen, you guys got to make sure you get down on the WinBet $50 to win $200 promotion. We're a $50 bet. Qualifies to win up to $200 in free bets. Plus, WinBet Casino is offering a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And of course, don't forget involved. Don't forget to get involved in their same game parlays with Win's own build your own bet feature. All users can receive a $20 free bet when they win, lose, or push a three leg or longer parlay in the build your own bet between Thursday and Saturday. Players can take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs as the Celtics just moved forward and stuffed Giannis in a dumpster. So there's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit WYNNbet.com to get started. The offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WinBet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Okay, let's get into this golf course. So in full disclosure, as I mentioned, last couple days I was working hard on doing my column.
Yeah.
Today, good call. Thank you. I appreciate that. Today I was basically tied up all day. So I'm not quite as prepared today. A lot of what I'm going to talk about tonight, I already talked about in my column. There are three really good videos that I recommend everybody watch. Number one is Every Hole at Southern Hills with the narrator did a great job. And with every drone video, like flyover, gives you a great idea of what these guys are going to play this week. Some other tips about the golf course. Apparently, I think on 15, if you watch that video, I forget who it was, but somebody called in a death threat against whoever was leading, I think like the 1971 PGA or like US Open or PGA or something. And the FBI like swarmed the course and they had the snipers everywhere. And whoever's leading is like, I'm not stopping play. I'm going to keep going. And the FBI agents were like, we'll shoot you if you try and play. And the guy's like, make me. And he ended up just playing the rest of the hole.
What?
Yeah, I know. I never heard that story. It's pretty crazy. So yeah.
It's fucking insane.
Like all of a sudden, like we're going, all right, it's like, all right, here's the 14th hole. It's like 600 yards. Like you can't hit it right. Here's the 15th hole. In 1972, the FBI threatened to shoot the leader of the tournament. I'm like, what?
I like it.
So there's that video. And then there's two videos from the Fried Egg. Basically, it's Garrett Morrison and Andy Johnson just kind of going back, like back and forth about just how, like some of the changes they made to Southern Hills, which I'll get into very quickly. And then the last one, they interviewed Gil Hanse, which I recommend if you want to get prepared about what this golf course is, what its history is, and like some of the changes, I recommend go watch it. Here's the Cliff Notes version of a lot of that stuff. So they lengthened the golf course a lot. It's a lot more than when I first charted this after the renovation, I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to play about 7,300 yards. I was wrong. It's going to play 7,000. It's going to play about 7,550 yards. As a par 70, it's very long. To give you an idea, that's like 400 yards longer than what it was in 2007. I think it played at 7,100 yards. Most of the yardage gains on the golf course, it came on the 7th, the 10th, and the 13th. The 13th is a par 5. I think that played like 540 back in 2007. It's 630 now. That's a beast of a par 5.
But aren't the winds going to play into effect of that?
But here's the thing. Have you looked at the par 5? Like how it's comprised?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, you will have wind. You have a small, firm green. You have two ponds right in front. You have bunkers all around it. I think it's going to be a very – I mean, if you're going forward in two, you're not hitting the green. It's going to be very difficult to hit the green in two. Especially, you got the Bermuda rough, which we'll talk about. Yep. If you're in that Bermuda rough, you're not hitting the green general. You're laying up. Yep. I think a lot of guys are going to treat both of the par fives as three-shot holes this week.
Okay.
Even with the firmness, even with the wind, I think there is too much downside to trying to go for the green when you're probably going to miss it anyways. And especially on 13 with those two, like it's not like you can bounce the ball to the green. You have to fly it, and it's going to be at least like 275 with the carry. So I don't see a big upside to trying to go for the green in two on either of them.
Okay. It sounds like the CPA in you.
Okay. So there's that. There's ad length. There's a conversion of the greens from Bermuda to bentgrass. Now you think about Tulsa, Oklahoma, you're like, wait, we're going to put bent grass greens in Tulsa, kind of like in Texas. You know, it's, and there's usually one of two ways you can go with this. First of all, if you want bent grass to stay alive, you just got to water the shit out of it, like they did probably the Byron Nelson. Or if you are just swimming in Oklahoma oil money, and have Uber, you know, oodles of dollars to spend, you do something called, you create a hydronic system underneath each green. Now, what is a hydronic system? Well, it's not subair. Subair basically takes the moisture out, and it can also pump air into the roots to make them cool. But this hydronic system, basically, it's the latter part of a subair system. Basically, what it does is it's a series of coils underneath each green that can basically do temperature control of the roots. Because bentgrass, once it gets above the soil gets above 78 degrees, it starts to die. These coils can either heat the soil or cool it off. Because Tulsa can have very extreme weather. You know, it can be very cold, it can be very hot. Basically, these coils underneath each green are going to keep it very playable. And these greens are going to be very firm. It hasn't rained a whole lot in Tulsa. I think they're going to get a thunderstorm today and maybe a thunderstorm on Saturday. But otherwise, between the wind and the sun, it's going to be a very baked out golf course. These bent grass greens are going to be firm, but they're going to roll really well too because of this system underneath. I think the biggest change they made to Southern Hills with the shaved down areas around each green. Before in 2007, if you missed a green, it would just stop in the rough. Now with these shaved areas and how like the topography is with all these runoff areas, Gil Hance also did work around the edges of the green because sand had built up over time, basically create like kind of like little ridges and keep the ball on the green. They took those off, so now like all the greens are kind of like
runs.
They're rounded a little bit. So if you miss kind of in the wrong spot, it's just going to start trickling, and you could find your ball rolled like 20, 30 yards, you know, below the putting surface. And they also add a lot of greenside bunkers too. And it's going to be tough to get out of them too. And then lastly, the enhanced creek system. Now, the property itself has, I think, a couple, like, it has a main creek and a couple tributaries going through it. What they decided to do, they expanded it, where now the creek is in play on more holes. So if you combine that with the firm fairways, firm greens, the runoff areas, and where the creeks are positioned, it's going to be very interesting once the ball hits the ground and where it goes. Because a lot of guys might hit a good shot and they just hit the wrong side of a slope or the wrong side of a fairway, and it kind of just keeps rolling and rolling, and it'll roll into the creek. Yeah. It's going to be a lot more penal than I think some other PGA championships we've seen some other PGA championships at Southern Hills that we've seen because of this creek system. It's going to come into play a lot. It comes into play a lot around the greens. There's a lot of areas around the fairways where a ball can just roll through. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be difficult too. The greens are really small. Like I said, they average about 5,000 to 5,500 square feet in area. It's smaller than PGA Tour standards. It's going to be long. It's got Bermuda rough, which we'll talk about after another ad break. I think it's going to be entertaining and tough, and I think we'll get a very worthy champion. I don't think there's going to be a, I don't think we're going to get a Jimmy Walker. Let's put it that way. At this
point. No dynamite this week.
No dynamite. So, do you have any other questions after I ran through that?
No, I really think kind of, I don't know, we talk so much that I don't know what's talked about, what's not, but I mean, I feel like
by the way, can we go back to the 13th hole?
Yeah.
So the weather forecast changed. We're going to talk about it a little bit. The weather forecast changed to where only one day the wind is out of the south. 2 days is out of the north, and that hole's going to play into the wind.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about, and we'll talk about a little bit of the proximities, like where these guys are going to approach us from. That's why I think it's going to be a three-shot hole.
Okay.
There is no reason, if you have a 325-yard shot, where to even try to get close to the green, these guys are going to lay up.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Right. Anything else?
No, I mean, just, I mean, it's kind of the same thing you said. The go read the, or I guess watch the video that I did as far as like the breakdown of the course. Like, yeah, I'm excited for, I feel like these greens are going to be so hard to stick and play. Like, it's going to be fun to see what these guys do around the greens, right? Whether you're chipping or whether they're trying to putt it up it or if it rolls back down, like the mental fatigue that some of these guys are going to have. Like, I'm excited for it. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
And if the wind, couple days too,
it's going to be super hot. It's going to be fucking windy. Like if it's windy, like I got certain guys who I like in the wind. I'm already dreading this week because I'm already like thinking about like certain guys like, oh, wind, let's go. But yeah,
is it Cam Smith?
Well, yeah, I love Cam Smith. I do, but I can't get the right number on him. I can't. Like I saw fucking guys up in New York getting like Boost or Jersey fucking 50-1, fucking 45-1. I get them at 20. I'm not betting them at 20.
That makes you think the sucker bet this week, which actually after the break, I think we're going to talk about something that might not go in his favor this week.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Why don't we take a break and we'll start getting into it.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we got to talk about Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there, and I use it for mine. I do. That's what we do, our SGPN Dynasty League, which I've won 1 year, and it came in third last year for bad breaks. And listen, it's a game-changing product, unlike anything else in the industry, and now you can even make money on Sleeper by playing the new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players you like and pick the over-under, for example, the number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter in the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 to 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about the over-under Sleeper is it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. So stop what you're doing and download the Sleeper app now over and to go play their new over and under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. Yeah, man. Listen, I like the Sleeper app. It's solid. That's what we do the Dynasty, SGPN thing at. It's nice.
All right. Very good. All right. Let's go over again, some nuts and bolts of the golf course, and we'll start getting into some of this, you know, agronomy stuff. So like I mentioned, it's going to play a little over 7,550 yards. It's 400 yards longer than 2007 PGA Championship. Holes number 7, 10, and 13. Those added about 275 yards in length. I think 13th is like 100 yards longer. The 10th is like 80 yards longer. And I think the 7th is like 7 yards longer. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, but aren't like all the par 3s super long here? Doesn't that add to the length?
Yeah, all the par 3s are long.
Right.
But, I mean, you have long par 3s. You have 2 par 5s over 600 yards. But, yeah, there's a good mix of long par 4s and short par 4s,
okay,
which is going to come into play when we talk about proximity stuff later on. The agronomy of this place. So, like I mentioned, they have bent grass greens. They have Bermuda fairways and Bermuda rough. And the Bermuda, especially with the rough, is not something that we see a whole lot in major championships. A lot of these golf courses are, you know, the classical ones, like the big boy golf courses. They're on the West Coast. You got POA. Or they're in the Northeast or the Midwest. That's mostly POA, Bent, Kentucky Bluegrass, Ryegrass, all that stuff. You're not seeing a lot of major championships south, where it would be Bermuda, something like that.
Yep.
So, sorry, you just sent me a message. Yes, we sound very good. You could have asked on the air.
Well, no, I didn't want to have to cut. That's why I sent you the text.
Okay.
But keep going.
No, you sound great. Okay. Yeah. So, since 2010, I went back because the Bermuda, I kind of wondered like if that had anything to do with like changing the leaderboard and everything. So there's been 3 majors that feature Bermuda rough since 2010.
Right.
It was 2011, a major that is near and dear to your heart, Atlanta Athletic Club, won
Let's
by
go
your boy,
Keys, Keegan Bradley.
Baby. Yep. that played. I think it was like 7,460 yards. It was a longer golf course, had Bermuda rough. That was in 2011. 2012, the Ocean Course in Kiawa. Now, the one we just had last year, because it was in May, they oversee the rough with ryegrass. But back in 2012, it was in August, that was full Bermuda. They had the Bermuda rough. Right. That was about 7,700 yards, won by Rory McIlroy at 1,300. 2017 at Quail Hollow Club. Now, the difference between the Quail Hollow Club that you see in May for the Wells Fargo is, once again, the Bermuda's overseeded usually. It's got ryegrass in May. Right. In August, they had the full Bermuda. That was 7,600 yards, long golf courses. So you have, like Southern Hills, Bermuda rough, thick Bermuda rough, and pretty long on the scorecard. So here's some leaderboards that shook out of both, because you would think, okay, long, like demanding PGA, like, all right, bombers, your ball strike, all that stuff. Okay. Here's your top tens from each of those PGAs. Let's start with 2011, Atlanta Athletic Club. Honestly, a dog shit top 10. I'm sorry, Keegan Bradley. You beat a bunch of dogs that week. All right, Keegan Bradley finished first. You have Jason Duffner. You have Anders Hansen, who I don't even know who that is. Robert Carlson. His name is Robert Carlson. He finished fourth. David
his
Toms.
Name is Robert Carlson.
Yeah. David Toms. Scott Verplank. Adam Scott, we finally got to go to him. Luke Donald, Lee West. Okay. Kevin Na and DA Points. Yuck. That is a snoozer top 10.
DA Points.
A lot of scrubby names in that top 10.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's go to Kiwa. Rory wins. Premier player. Okay. Check out the rest of this top 10. David Lynn, who retired in 2014, like 2 years after that. Your boy Keegan again.
Nope.
Pretty good. Carl Pettersson, who once they took away the belly putter, lost his entire career. Ian Poulter, Justin
yeah,
Rose.
Adam Scott is still able to do whatever he does. It's not really fucking injured. It's a centimeter off his chest.
I know. It's bullshit. Ian Poulter, Justin Rose, Blake Adams, Jamie Donaldson, Peter Hansen, Steve Stricker.
Jamie Donaldson. I forgot about that dude. Yeah.
Not exactly a murderer's row of big drivers there, aren't it?
No.
No. And then Quail Hollow, which we all, I think, associate with big bomber golf course. So again, okay, JT won. Okay. Francesco Molinari finished second. Patrick Reed finished second. Ricky Fowler finished second. Becky finished second. Graham Dillette, before his back troubles, he was in the top 10. Short-hitting bunter Kevin Kisner was like, I think he was like leading on Saturday. He finished in the top 10. Jason Day, who's always good at Quail Hollow. Matt Kuchar finished in the top 10 that week. Jordan Smith, who's a short-hitting, accurate player from England, he finished top 10. And Chris Stroud, a short, accurate player.
No.
So here's the thing that I noticed. And all of them were both long golf courses with thick Bermuda rough. And they put out leaderboards like this. Driving accuracy or accurate players actually fared pretty well at all these places. So if you look at the 32 guys on this list, only 26 of them actually qualified for PGA Tour stats. Only 7 of them ranked outside the top 100 in driving accuracy heading into all those PGAs. It was like your JTs, Jason Day, Rory, Carl Pettersson wasn't very accurate, Robert Carlson, Kevin Na. Everybody else was inside the top 100. And some of these Europeans like Anders Hansen, Lee Westwood, Jordan Smith, they all were very accurate on the European tour too. And you look at like who won those tournaments. Yeah, JT and Rory they're just ultra talented players. But Keegan, that's the guy I want to focus on. That's a guy who had a really good, decent combination of length and accuracy off the tee. So heading into the 2011 PGA, he ranked 6th in strokes gained off the tee. He did it with, he was 99th in accuracy and 16th in driving distance. That was good for 6th in strokes gained off the tee. And then at Atlanta Athletic Club, he finished 21st in driving distance and 20th in driving accuracy on the week. That combination was really good. So I think where I'm trying to make these courses, and all these guys too, by the way, hit their irons really good overall because they tend to be more accurate players playing fairways.
Right.
So I don't know if people are catching on to this, but I think like driving accuracy guys, like either like you're just the big bad bomber who can just kind of cut through the Bermuda, but I think a lot of these accuracy guys can stand a chance and might be a little undervalued in like DK this week.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think everybody sees that number and says bombers.
Yeah, exactly. Bombers.
You know, and like, you can't discount some of these guys who aren't. And what's so funny to me is like guys who are bombers, right? Like, whatever, 315 and a guy hits 298. It's fucking 18 yards of distance, 20 yards of distance. Like, yeah, it makes a difference, but if he can put it in the right spot in the fairway and have a better angle to the green and not be in the rough, like, why not?
Right. So, like, I think, like, if you can get the length and accuracy guys, like your John Rahms, Patrick Cantlays, like those type of guys, I think they might do pretty well. I think the firmness of the fairways too, because balls are going to have, and like how they're like undulated as well and like cantered. Like balls are going to be running into the rough, I think, a lot. And yeah, living in Florida, you know that if even if it's just like a couple yards off the fairway, it can be fucked.
It'd be a fucking foot off the fairway. It's the most frustrating thing in the world because you hit it and you're like, okay, that's okay. Oh, that's fine. I just trickled into the rough and you're like, fucked.
Yeah.
Just fucked. I'm buried. I'm fucked. Like, I have no idea what's going to do. There's no spin. It could be a wedge in and there's no spin. Nothing. It's going to fly. I'm going to fly the green. I'll be chipping off the backside of a goddamn green. Yeah. Mm.
So I think the, just taking a guess of like generally like firm golf courses. Like I looked at Quail with their driving accuracy race where that week, like with the Bermuda and balls were through, it was about 58%. I think we're going to get that about this week just because I think it's going to be hard to hold fairways.
Do you think it's even going to be that high?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm taking a guess.
I hope it's lower.
I mean, Wingfoot was like 50%.
Yeah. Let's go 50.
Or I don't think it's be that because Southern Hills is much wider than Wingfoot is.
But
the land is rolling.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's actually that wider. Like it's not. I feel like it's not. Like, and listen, you're a course guy. I shouldn't even be pushing back on you, but I've watched enough videos where I'm dangerous now, where I'm like, ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I got excited about this week and when I'm like, it looks wide, but it's really not that wide.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, but like, I'm just looking at like, I'm basically guessing what these shots are going to look like.
Right.
Like until I actually see this stuff.
Yeah.
Not going to know, but no, I think the average driving accuracy distance is like 62% of PGA Tour. So like we're seeing like 55 to 58, like it's below average. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
So, So I guess the long and short of it is you can't make the excuse that all these places were short where like these guys would have an advantage. Like these are all big boy golf courses and you see just a bunch of scrubby bunters still finished in the top 10. I think that's important this week. I think you really have to keep in the fairway because that Bermuda rough, especially with how small these greens are, they're rounded off and how firm they are. If you're hitting out of the Bermuda rough, it is going to be so difficult.
You just don't know what's going to happen with your ball.
Exactly. Yeah. That's don't know where it's going to go. No. You're not going to be able to spin off it. Like you're going to end up in a bunker. Like it's not going to go well for you. So like, I think just keeping the ball in front of you, hitting as many shots from the fairway as you can, is going to be a huge edge. And we don't say that a lot in a lot of major championships. We're like, oh, just bomb a gouge, all that stuff. I really think it's going to matter this week.
So how much money are you putting on Matthew Fitzpatrick this week?
We'll talk about him later.
I knew you couldn't stay away. I fucking knew it. You said you weren't going to bet him, and I know you're going to bet him this week.
Currently, I have $0.
Currently, it's fucking back. Sunday at 9 o'clock.
It will probably be more than $0 and 0 cents. Okay. All right. Why don't we take another break, and then we'll talk about some other stuff.
All right. I got to talk to you guys about Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things. So it costs you less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, which is cheaper than your cold brew habit. And AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Okay.
All right.
Let's move on to, after we spend a lot of time on off-the-tee performance, let's move on to approach shot performance.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be more important, right?
I have a third most important as far as what I'm handicapping this week.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, our play is always important.
Always.
Yeah. So yeah. There's very rare times I'm like, I'm going to ignore iron play.
Yeah, no, no. But I feel like it might be more important, right, with the size of the greens.
Yeah, it is. But the problem is, like, a lot of us, I mean, you know my spiel about proximity stats, right? How bullshit it is.
You hate it until it fits your narrative, yes.
Exactly. So why don't we go into it? So okay, we don't have an approach shot distribution chart.
Right.
You can try and look at the one from 2007. Like, I don't even think the shot.
Worthless.
Like, you know,
it's worthless.
Yeah. This is the longer golf course. It's different. Okay. It's worthless. So I ended up charting it out on Google Earth and guessing what they would be. Now, here's the thing. Do not take what I say as Bible and gospel. Okay. I had to factor in things like wind, the firmness of the fairways, the rollout, the warm temperatures, club choice, all that stuff. That is essentially a guess. It's not just say, okay, all right, I'm going to go from tee box to 300 yards. This is the approach shot distance. No. I think there's a lot of options how you can play certain holes. I think if you want to lay back, you know, a little bit or try and carry some bunkers, you can do that. Without rolling balls on the fairways, I'm not sure how far it's going to roll out. I'm taking a best guess. So here's what I came up with, though. And I base this based off of 2 days of south winds and 2 days of north winds. So I might have to redo this because I think it's going to be 1 day of south winds, 1 day of west winds, and 2 days of north winds. But I ran it a couple different scenarios, and it didn't change much, so I think this is pretty solid. Okay. I have 18% of approach shots less than 125 yards. I have 25%, 125 to 150. I have 18%, 150 to 175. I have 17%, 175, 200. I have 22%, 200 plus. So how did I come up with some of this stuff? Well, like you mentioned, some of the par threes are pretty long. I think that makes up most of my 200 plus yard proximity stat. I think there's another couple long par fours that I think, depending on where the wind goes, probably going to play over 200. So there's that. There's also a good mix of shorter par fours, though. I think number 9 is under 400 yards. I think number 5 is under 400. There's a couple that are under 400.
Right.
So that's the shorter ones.
Wedge play.
Yeah. Yep. So there's that. There's some medium ones, too. But I think what was tricky, and we kind of talked about this earlier, was how do we do the par fives? Because they're both over 600 yards. One of them goes from an east to west direction. So if it's north or south wind, it's going to be a crosswind. That's going to be pretty tricky to play. I think guys are going to have some kind of way if they want to, you know, have some risk rewards. If it's a south wind, the ball's going to want to push towards the creek. There's a lot of bunkers around both, you know, so there's that. And then the 13th, even if there is a helping wind, there are two big ponds right in front of the green where you can't bounce the ball into the green. You have to fly it onto a small, firm green with bunkers everywhere that with some runoffs too. So I don't think looking at like long approach shot proximity for those holes is useful because I think you're missing the green. I don't think it matters. So I think on those holes, I think the proximity is actually from like 125 to 150, like a wedge. And there's also the consideration too that if I think the fairway miss percentage is going to be relatively high, if you're heading out Bermuda, you're probably not going to be hitting the green anyway. So what good is the proximity stat? So I'm not even really looking at proximity stats this week. I don't think it matters. I think there's too much noise. First of all, it's too much noise in the stat. I think that guys are going to be missing their fair share of greens. I think just what I put on paper, I think it's pretty spread out in general. Because I think Gil Hance kind of did a pretty good job because he's a pretty damn good architect. Giving a variety of shots instead of just like your Reese Jones, and you're sending long irons over and over and over. I think the Bermuda Rough, you're just going to miss the green anyways. So I'm just looking at just general iron play.
Okay.
Are you just solid?
What?
Any pushback on any of that stuff?
No, but I mean, I guess a little bit. Like, I mean, just because you're in the rough doesn't mean you're completely fucking dead. Like, these guys are PGA professionals. It's not me and you out there in the Bermuda rough, right? I mean, you can still hit a green. And like you said, most times it does go to the bottom, but you'll also get these lies that sit up in a nice little tuft. It will. And it'll be like, oh, this is like hitting off a tee, right? So, I mean, it does happen.
And I don't know, like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Listen, once again, not a course guy. It's hard for me to even push back on you. So that's why I'm like, should I push back? I feel like he's going to play shorter.
Yeah, I think it will play shorter. So I think that helps when I, you know, basically said, okay, there's actually more shots on 150 yards than you would think for a 7,500 yard course.
Right. So, and I don't think coming out of the rough, you're dead to rights. Like, I don't think you're just going to miss it. Like, it just depends on your lie, which is impossible to fucking predict. Impossible. Right.
And so I think you're not dead. I think it's very difficult because you're not going to get any spin out of the rough and the greens are very small.
Yeah. So,
I don't know how useful it is.
But these guys can play it short and have it chip and run up. You know what I mean?
A lot of these greens are raised. There's bunkers in front. Like,
can't
really run some of these balls and bounce it up. Like a wingfoot, you had all these greens that like had big mouths and you could kind of run it up kind of like there. Here, like, there's front bunkers, there's bunkers, like, just, there's a ton,
there's a lot of bunkers.
Yeah, they add a lot of greens, but, like, I think a lot of them had, like, four or five bunkers, like, around them, like, like, the area to actually, like, bounce the ball to a green is really tiny.
But wouldn't most PGA guys want to be out of bunkers anyway?
Yeah, but, well, that's the point. Maybe you want a way. But you just made my point for me. What is the point of a proximity stat if they're probably going to end up in a bunker?
No, I didn't say they're probably going to end up in a bunker.
I know, but like you said, they want to prefer to be in a bunker, so maybe they're aiming for that. So what's the point of using proximity stats? Like, why would I care about, like, all right, this guy's a 150 yard shot when he's aiming for a bunker?
Yeah,
where he's probably going to miss the green anyways.
All right.
So that's just me.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm still in the figure it out fucking phase.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think I'm just going to take just good iron players in general. I think there's a lot of variables where I don't want to just focus on, like, I don't know, long approach players.
Yeah.
I think there's enough evidence to suggest there's going to be some shorter shots too. And I think just coming out of this rough and just how the greens are shaped and I think they're going to miss a lot of greens. I don't want to pigeonhole myself.
No, you definitely don't want to do that, right? That's fine.
And then around the green, we kind of already referenced this. I think this is the most important stat I'm going to look at all week. Kind of like with Augusta National. When I walked the golf course and saw how just all the runoff areas, the tight lies, like, it's doable. If you're in a bunker, if you're out like a tight lie, it's doable for somebody who's really good at it. But if you're just bad at it, you get exposed.
Yeah.
And I think, like, all these videos we talked about and, like, just people have seen the golf course, they all say Augusta National just lies things. And, like, around the green game is so important there. And if you don't have – if you aren't good around the green,
toast.
I'm not going to consider you. Toast. I will make one exception, though.
Okay, who?
Okay, so Colin Morikawa looks awful, absolutely awful on the around the green stats.
Yep.
However, he was really good at Riviera, and he was really good at Augusta this year around the green.
No.
If you can chip your way around Augusta National and Riviera, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah, so I would agree with that.
So I think that's important.
I think so, too.
I think you, like, drill down a little more on these guys. See how, because there are 2 years of data – at least strokes gained data at Augusta National, and there's a lot of Riviera stuff. If they're relatively pretty good at those two places, because both of them feature firm greens or some tight lies, they're very tricky around those places. If you can do it at both places, you can probably do it here.
Well, when was the last time we saw Morikawa, right? Augusta?
Technically that bullshit Zurich event.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. Then it was Augusta.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, that was only like a month ago.
I know. Okay.
All right. But yeah, like I said, so kind of cap all this off. What am I looking for in order of importance around the green game? Like I said, like if you struggle around the green, around bunkers, off tight chipping lies, I don't want you this week. I don't want Victor Hovland. I just don't.
He's the media.
No, like I don't think he's going to be able to hit enough greens in regulation. Because it's a low number to overcome just how bad he is around the green sometimes.
Well, what if everybody's missing those greens?
And, but he's so good at hitting greens, right? What if he can negate? What if he hits more greens than other guys? And so that way he's not.
I think he would have to hit a very high number.
You think so?
Yeah. Now, the one thing going for him, though, he has a good combination of length and accuracy.
He does. That's what
I'm saying. I think he's just, in order to actually like win the tournament,
yeah,
he's going to cost himself.
Okay. Listen, I'm with you. Like, he was one of my first cross-offs, but then, like, when I think of my first cross-offs, I'm like, all right, well, what's my counter-argument? Like, if I were to make a counter-argument.
No, I agree. I think the path for him is he just is head and shoulders better ball striker than everybody.
And he hits the ball so straight.
He does. And that is the key. I will give you that. But yeah. I think around the green, just if I'm using a lot of the stuff I use for Augusta National, around the green, and I use that. Two types of players off the tee. If you're just someone who gains a ton of strokes off the tee, you're just one of these big baddie bombers, like, fine. Okay? You're cool. But I'm not going to just write you off if you're just one of these short bunters.
No.
Kind of like I talked about, at all those leaderboards, there were a ton of just scrubby short knockers.
Yeah.
And I think it has something to do with the Bermuda rough. That's the common link of all those places.
Okay.
And I think a lot of those guys are going to be undervalued in DFS because I think people are going to say, oh, just bought McGouge, all this stuff, long golf course. I think some of those shorter guys can still stand a chance, especially with the firmer fairways and with how these fairways are cantered. You got to actually aim for the right side of these things. Otherwise, it's going to start rolling into a place you don't want it to be.
Yeah.
If you're somebody like, I know somebody right off the top of my head, Terrell Hatton. Listen, like 298 is not short.
You're talking about somebody, he hates Augusta.
Okay, well, no, just let me finish.
Sorry.
Terrell Hatton, to only 298 off the box, which is not short.
No.
He has been hitting it so badly, like he's not hitting it straight, like all his driving accuracy numbers are bad. Like, that's somebody I don't want this week.
Okay.
That's
Andy,
what I was
Andy hates Augusta.
And he hates Augusta. I mean, it doesn't mean he doesn't hate this place, but, well, you know what? Let's talk about that. So he said that he thought good shots weren't rewarded at Augusta National. Well, good shots aren't going to get rewarded this week.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm all off my boy Terrell.
Bad shit's going to happen.
I'm off my boy Terrell this week.
All right.
Once again, I need a chart on what courses fit his eye, as he constantly says.
Florida, the Middle East, and England. That's really about it.
Sounds good. Let's go.
Just good iron players in general. I'm not pigeonholing myself into a proximity stat this week. I think there's too much noise, and I think there's going to be a wide variety of shots. And a lot of it's going to depend on how the wind blows. And then good putters and bank grass services.
Yep.
That's it. That's really what I'm looking for.
Would you?
I think that's the secret sauce this week.
I think you're on to something with the not just the bombers.
Yeah. No, I those three leaderboards, don't think it's a coincidence with the Bermuda rough. It spit out those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I like it. All right.
Okay. Why don't we take one more break and then we'll finish things up.
Well, we're going to play the game that you said is going to trigger me.
Well, we're going to get your leans. We'll do a quick weather report and then we'll, yep.
I want to play a game. Want to play a game. All right.
Jigsaw.
That's right. I'm pretty sure. Well, actually, I don't even know. Our audience is typically younger than us, so maybe they don't know what that is. So did you guys know that browsing online and using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without the added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet, encrypting 100% of your data. That means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Once again, Putin. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. And you can use it on unlimited devices, including your Fire Stick. And so whether I'm at home or I'm in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. And they're offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use, and all you have to do is tap a button. You're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. So stop sharing with the world everything you stream, search for, and buy. Take your privacy back with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to IPVanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP. and claim your 70% off savings. That's IPVANISH.com/SGP.
Okay. All right. I'll just give a quick weather report before we get into some of your leans. So the leading up to the tournament, I think they're going to get maybe a thunderstorm tonight. Golf course should be dried out by the time we get to it on Thursday. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be windy. It's going to dry out pretty quick. As far as the tournament goes during the week, Thursday, it's going to be 89 degrees. Looks like you're going to have a south wind, 15 to 30 miles per hour. So if you look at Google Earth, you can kind of see like how those holes will play. A south wind will make 13, the par five play downwind. Number one's downwind. And then 9 and 18 are both into the wind. 18 is going to be a brutal hole into the wind.
18 is going to destroy people. I can't wait for Sunday.
Like, you saw those videos?
Yeah.
Well, because the problem is, even if you have like the wind at your back, because of where the bunker in the creek is, like you can't go that far. Or else you're going to run into it.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to mess with these guys so bad.
I can't wait.
All right, so Thursday you have 89 degrees, a south wind 15 to 32 miles per hour. Friday looks
32 miles an hour. It's insane.
Yeah. So Friday, west northwest wind, which is actually going to make number four, the par five, play into the wind. So that's now a 3-shot hole, and that's going to be 12 to 30 miles per hour. 84. Okay. So again, more wind. Saturday, I think because the cold fronts come through, it's only going to be 72 degrees. But now you have a northeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. So the wind, the start of the tournament was from the south, and is now completely flipped around to the north. It's going to play completely different. And then Sunday, on Sunday, the wind flips again 10 to 25 miles per hour out of the south. It's going to fuck with these guys all week.
It's going to be awesome.
It's not going to play the same. Yeah, we're going to go south wind, heavy south wind, heavy west wind, heavy north wind, heavy south wind. I think there's going to be some chaos because I think where the wind like might shift might favor some certain guys. I'm not good enough to pick exactly who it would be, but I think it's just going to change every day. I think you're going to get some shakeups. Like, I think it's going to be a really, really entertaining and hopefully profitable tournament. We'll see, but you know, I think it's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be much better than we saw this week.
Listen, I enjoyed this week. Okay, it is what it is. You know what I mean? I didn't go into this weekend thinking it was gonna be a tough test. It's fun to make guys go out and see birdies every once in a while. I know I bitch about it too, but like, listen, whatever, it's fine.
Okay,
I knew it.
Now I will say this, hopefully this weather forecast holds, because on Sunday night they're expecting an inch and a half of rain. So let's keep that far, far away from this forecast, because otherwise there's a threat of a thunderstorm maybe in the afternoon, but it might just roll through pretty quick. Friday, I don't think there's much of a chance of rain. And Thursday, no real chance of rain. Let's keep that golf course firm, baby.
God. All right.
All right. What about you? What's your initial leans?
I mean, so my biggest thing is I want somebody who's good around the greens, right? Like, I mean, that's my biggest thing that I'm focusing on. So it is, as everybody says, like a Magic Beans week. Like, who can get it done? Who can see the shot after they miss the green, they roll off, and they're fucking on the backside, they're 30 yards away, and they got to shoot up and hit on a certain shelf, right? Like, who's good at that? Who do I know is good at that? Who do I trust is good as that? Like, that's really where I'm focusing so much of my attention on this week. I mean, I don't know fucking how you can't bet speed. I don't know how you can. Career Grand Slam, played fucking great this week. Missed his normal two over the weekend within 3-foot putts. But is there anybody you trust being able to get up and down from a fucking weird spot more than speed?
Yeah, it's true.
Oklahoma and Texas are basically the same place, yeah?
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Yeah. I'm sure we just offended a lot of people, but listen, for people outside of the area,
topography-wise, agronomy-wise,
I know the Red River shootout's a big thing, but...
No, from a golf course perspective, if you put Southern Hills in Texas, it would look completely... It would
look normal, right? Yes. So I bet I got 24 with speed today.
Okay.
Hammered that. I got a Burns from a while ago at 66, but yeah. I think that's fucking worthless at this point.
Okay.
How come Rahm isn't getting talked about so much?
He should be.
He should be, right?
I think because his number is still low, but like you his talk numbers, about a guy.
I think it's going to drift.
You talk about, I hope it drifts. You oh, talk about I a guy so. Who hits a ton of fairways and can put it out there.
It's a nice draw. It's That's a nice him. Draw, fucking low in the wind.
That's him.
Dude, I was looking today, 11% DK ownership. 11%.
We might make our guests very mad tomorrow night.
Oh no, Andy's not.
I'm kidding.
No,
I'm kidding. He's very level headed.
Yeah, he's fine with that.
I'm just, dude,
if Rahm is anything less than 15%, I literally might push all my chips in the middle and lock button Rahm.
I really like Rahm this week too. I know that's stupid because like it's 12-1.
But I don't
like
care. That's
like this is the first time I've gone into a week. I'm like I really like Rahm in a long time.
In a long time.
I've been off him for a little bit, and this is the first time I'm like, all right, I can kind of see it with how I think this golf course is going to set up, and he's got that length and accuracy. He finally scrambled well in Mexico. Like
he did. And so like, I just wonder, will the scrambling in Mexico translate?
Yeah. So that is past Palom.
Right.
And like,
it's a little
and like
different.
That, and that's the thing. Like we've seen like Victor Hovland do well on past Palom. So maybe it's bullshit.
Right. And so that's, like, I want to dig,
that's,
I want to,
that's an issue.
I want to dig a little deeper into that. We can talk about them tomorrow, Tuesday.
I know, but I think the first battle is hit it as far as you can out there and keep it in the fairway. And man, that guy just does it.
He does.
Yeah.
And then, so I like you, got down on Decky at 40-1. Dude.
I like him a lot.
Dude, he looked fucking good this weekend.
He did.
He looked good.
And you want to talk about a guy who probably should have won one of those Bermuda PGAs.
Yep.
That was Hideki.
Yep.
He also can hit it long and straight.
Yep. And that fucking, and that magical 5-3, whatever the fuck he hits from 220 to 240 and sticks it within 6 feet on every par five that he needs to.
Yep.
Oh baby.
Tibley putts well on that grass.
Yep.
Good scrambler, just like at Augusta.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like him. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. And like, I want Cam Smith for his magic beans, and he's my favorite golfer. He's won me 2 bets this year already. Mm-hmm. I can't get a good number on him. I can't find him anywhere. I just can't. Like I said, I saw all those assholes up in Jersey, New York that like, had access to like 50-1. I'm not paying 21 when I already have a fucking, Spieth at 24. I want to bet Rahm and I got Decky at 40. So that's actually best. That gives me a little wiggle room. And I don't count Sam Burns. I don't like whatever that was money I spent fucking 8 months ago. That doesn't count.
So what concerns me about Cam Smith though is kind of what we talked about a lot tonight with that Bermuda rough, and he's pretty erratic off the tee.
He lives fucking 5 miles from my house. He plays Bermuda all the time.
Okay.
He is familiar with it. I guarantee you that. I know two guys who play with him all the time.
Okay. All right, he's familiar, but is he good out of it?
I don't fucking know. He certainly looks good next to the two schmucks I know that play. So. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
okay. All right. I'm just that's my concern.
Yeah. When was the last time we saw him?
Well, the Zurich, Harbortown, he missed the cut.
Missed the cut. I don't like that.
Okay. You want to just get into it right now?
What are we getting into?
My game.
Ooh, the game. Okay, all right. Let's go with the game.
Okay. So let's first go over some PGA championship trends of the last 12. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Oh, come on. Stop it.
Fine.
All right. 12 of the last 12 PGA champions made the cut in their final start before a tournament. Now, here is where we need to have a little discussion.
Okay.
Does the Zurich count?
No, it doesn't fucking count.
I say it doesn't count, and I did not use it in this game. It does not count.
Absolutely does not count.
Sorry, it doesn't count. Sorry, Xander, it doesn't count. Okay? So, and including like in your last 5 events too, I excluded the Zurich.
Okay. Because I feel like that fucked us up. Did we do this exercise last year and we counted the Zurich?
The Phil one. Like, it's just
yeah. So yeah. Maybe we threw off the whole butterfly flaps and swings in Thailand creates a thing.
Well, so here's the thing. Dies. And this is the most peculiar and bizarre trend as there is, but Phil fit this perfectly. 12 of the last 12 PGA champions missed a cut at least once in their last five events leading up to the tournament.
Okay.
And Phil did it. There you go.
Okay.
11 of the last 12 PGA champions finished at least inside the top 30 in their last start before the tournament.
Okay.
So showed a little bit of form. 11 of the last 12 PGA champions had at least one win, individual stroke play win, not a team event, in the last 2 years before the tournament. And 10 of the last 12 had multiple wins in the last 2 years before the PGA. 10 of the last 12 PGA champions were ranked inside the top 50 in the world before a tournament, and 9 of the last 12 were ranked inside the top 25. So, shocker, really good players tend to win the PGA.
So weird.
Okay.
So weird.
10 of the last 12 PGA champions had at least one top 10 in the major prior to winning. Sorry, Victor Hovland. And 9 of the last 12 had at least 3 prior top 10s in majors before winning. Sorry, Patrick Cantlay. It's true. He only said 2. Okay, all right. 9 of the last 11 PGA champions made the cut in the previous major they played. The only exception is Keegan, the one that doesn't make the list is Keegan Bradley because he won his debut because he's a stud.
Because he's a stud.
He's a stud. He's a stud who can't close the Potomac.
Hey, Cameron, listen, why are you listening to this tonight? Can we get Keegan Bradley on here? There is literally no bigger fan on the entire planet other than me. Cameron, do your job. Go get him as a guest. Let's go.
That's true. Okay, we'll see how he goes. 9 of the last 12 PGA champions are less than 30 years old.
Yeah, I saw somebody say something about that.
Yeah.
So that kills your boy, Rory. Sorry.
Well, I know.
No, well, it's fine. Well, you killed Cantlay, so I kill Rory.
Well, that kills your boy Cantlay, too. He's also 30.
No, he's not.
30. Yeah, he's 30.
No, he's not. Is he?
Do you want charity bet this?
No, absolutely not. You seem very confident. Yeah, is he really 30? I mean, he looks like he's fucking 40, but.
Or March 17th, 1992, he is 30 years old.
Oh, by 2 months.
Yeah. Cross the threshold. But you know what's also about 30? Hideki's also about 30, too. Yeah. It's fine.
That's fine.
That's probably a bullshit one, to be honest, but whatever.
Okay. We'll find out.
9 of the last 12 PGA champions had at least one top 10 finish in the last five events for a tournament. Okay. So with all that said.
Rory.
Let's start crossing off some names.
All right.
Okay. Let's start with the ones that are the most, you know, the 12 for 12 ones, and we're going to go to the ones. Did you make the cut in your last start? And if we're not including the Zurich, we're going to say goodbye to the following people. Well, we're not going to go everybody, but like, here's some big names.
Yeah.
Cam Smith did not make the cut of the Heritage, your last individual struggling that you're out.
Oh.
Koepka did not make the cut at the Masters.
Brooks ain't winning shit.
I know. Sam Burns missed the cut at Byron Nelson.
Yeah. Bye bye. Okay.
Will Zalatoris missed the cut at Byron Nelson.
Bye bye.
You're out. And then Siwoo Kim.
Yep.
Sorry. Missed the cut this week.
He wasn't going to win this weekend.
All right. Now we're going to get rid of people based on the bizarre trend. Have you been too good the last five starts that you haven't got that miscut out of your system? So we're saying
that makes sense though. Think about it. You know what I'm saying? Think about any other sport. Well, we'll do. You know what I mean?
I'm just going to get rid of like really good names. Scheffler, JT, Rahm, Lowry, Neiman, like all these guys have been really hobbling, like Corey Connors. You've been too good. Sorry.
All right.
11 of the last 12 PGA winners had at least one individual stroke play win in the last 24 months. I didn't do the I did the multiple later. Okay. So the ones who don't have, although you know what? Do we count the Olympics?
No, we don't fucking count the Olympics. Absolutely not.
Why not?
We don't.
He beat a good field.
I don't give a fuck. It's fine. Listen, that's another guy who I think I might have bet Xander yesterday.
Well, you know what?
But I'm not counting the fucking Olympics.
Okay. Well, Xander's going to get crossed off later anyways for something else. So hold on. I need to update this thing.
It's great for live radio.
I know. Okay. All right. We are good now. All right. So guys who
Oh, Jesus Christ, Steve.
All right, okay. All right, we're back. We're back. All right, so Keegan Bradley.
The man.
Does
the
not,
man, the legend.
He does not have a win in the last 24 hours. Cam Young just hasn't won.
The kid's like Leishman, 23.
Cam Scott. Henley. Yeah, those guys are out. Okay.
Henley never wins.
I know. Okay. All right. Did you finish inside the top 30 in your last start?
What is this? How many of the winners did this?
10 of 12.
Okay.
Morikawa, you're out. DJ, you're out. And then Abe Anser, Seth Shaka.
Abe Anser.
I know. Are you inside the top 50 in the OWGR? By the way, we are down to 7 guys now.
I can tell you. Real?
Yeah. We're down to 7 guys.
I already fucking know 2 of them, but keep going.
All right. Are you inside the top 50 in the OWGR currently? We don't eliminate anybody. All 7 guys are currently inside the top 50.
Right.
Do you have a major or a top 10 in a major before? Goodbye, Jason Kokrak.
Yeah. And his bunker's all over the place. Fuck out of here.
Okay.
Have, right, so have fun on the live tour, you asshole. You cost me a matchup.
Okay. All right, we're down to 6 guys.
Yeah.
Do you have multiple wins? This is 9 of the last 12 PGA champions had multiple wins
in the last
over the last 2 years. And, you laughed at me. I mean, Phil Mickelson won twice in the Champions Tour, but whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Okay, fine. Care.
It doesn't count.
So nine with an asterisk.
Don't care. Yeah, okay. Doesn't count.
We're eliminating 2 guys. Xander and Jordan Spieth don't have multiple wins in the last 10 years or 2 years.
I was like, 10 years? Absolutely.
Yeah, 2 years. Okay. So now we're down to 4 guys.
Yeah. So we got Rory. We got.
Oh, let me just keep going.
Okay.
Did you make the cut in the last major you played in? All 4 guys did.
Okay.
Okay. Are you less than 30 years old?
Oh, Rory's cut now.
And we cut 3 of the 4 to leave 1.
Who?
Rory, you're out. Cantlay, you're out. Becky's out. And then do you have a top 10 at least once in your last 5? This last guy did. Who have I not crossed out yet?
I don't know.
Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Oh, fuck off. Are you fucking serious? Dude, listen. Just give me your action. This okay. kid is.
All right. No. I'm not. He's not going to win the PGA. He's not winning the PGA.
No.
So how about.
You're 100%. You're 100% shadow betting that, though.
Okay. How about a top 10 bet on Matthew Fitzpatrick this week?
No, I don't care about it. I'm not making a charity bet.
Around the green, he's accurate.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not making a charity bet. I'm saying you're shadow betting him to win.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to. He's not going to win the PGA.
I'm going to bet him then.
Okay, fine. Bet him. Well, no, I'll bet him top 10. I think he's going to do well this year. I think he's finished in the top 10. I mean, he's not going to win. He's not going to actually win.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah, there's no way I'm actually putting real dollars on Matthew Fitzpatrick to win.
Top 10, though, positional? I can see it. Yeah. Right, whatever. Just hate him. Okay. How about something more useful?
I don't hate him.
Okay. How about something more useful? How about guys who actually fit a lot of these criteria, okay?
No.
The only guy who fit all of them is Matthew Fitzpatrick. The guys who fit 9 of them. Rory, who the only one who's missing is the age thing. Cantlay and Hideki, too. Age thing.
Yeah.
Morikawa didn't finish inside the top 30s last start. That's the only thing he missed. Yeah. Scheffler, the only thing he missed is he's been too good. Has not
too good. Yep. Too good.
Same thing
winning,
with JT.
Winning every tournament he shows up at.
Same thing with JT. Same thing with Rom. Otherwise, they satisfy all those criteria. Spieth misses on, he has had multiple wins in the last 2 years and he did not make the cut in the Masters. Otherwise he fits everything.
Wait, you're supposed to miss a cut.
No. You have to make the cut in the last major you played. He missed the cut.
Okay.
Yeah. But he has missed a cut in one of his last 5 starts, but you gotta make the cut in the last major. That's the criteria. DJ missed in because he did not play well in Byron Nelson. He also is over the age of 30, but he's got 8. Okay. Daniel Berger, did not finish. He's been hurt though. He didn't finish inside the top 30 and he is actually over the age of 30.
Yeah. Berger sucks.
He's out.
Berger sucks.
Oh no, I'm sorry. He has not missed a cut but he didn't finish inside top 30. So he's out.
Berger sucks.
And then Cam Smith makes the list because he's been playing well. Because
he's fucking the man. He has two wins in the last fucking 3 months.
Yeah, he does. He did not make the cut in his last start, though, and he didn't finish inside the top 30.
Wasn't his fault.
And then Xander, if you count the Olympics win, he finished eighth. He does have multiple wins, and he did not make the cut at the Masters, his last major. So those are the guys with at least eight.
Fine.
It's a good list. I mean, obviously.
It's a good list.
It weeds down to just really good players.
I will never put one red fucking cent on Matthew Fitzpatrick for his first fucking win in the United States to be the PGA fucking championship. Listen,
I get it. I thought that's why
I will hang myself from my roof if that happens.
Okay, don't do that. It's just golf, okay? Right. No, that's why I said this elimination game would be good content, because I laughed when that's what it spit out.
I know you're going to bet him. I know it. You will
no, not. I'm not going to bet him outright. I'm not betting him
outright.
I'm telling
you right now, I guarantee you, you're going to bet him outright. You're going to shadow it, and you won't even tell anybody until you text me on like a Sunday when he's a contestant.
Okay,
like,
how about the
offline, no tout cash.
No.
I bet Fitzpatrick
first
live.
Of all.
I bet Fitzpatrick live on Friday.
If he dips below 60, fine. But I'm not betting him pre-tournament.
Okay.
No. Okay. I will probably have a. I will very likely have a positional on him though.
Okay.
Which is, I think you would agree, is reasonable.
Yes.
Whatever. Just stop being stubborn.
That sucks. I don't care.
He blows. Doesn't suck.
Sucks and blows. Sucks and blows.
You suck and blow. All right. Anything else, buddy?
No, that's it, brother.
Okay. All right. So, well, tomorrow we got the DFS show with Andy Lack. Tuesday we have betting show with Pamela Maldonado of Yahoo Sports. Jam-packed week. I'm very excited. Hopefully you guys got some good info tonight. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, man. You guys know where to find me, Boston_Capper on Twitter. We're going to figure out some sort of contest to go this week. It'll probably have to do with reviews. Maybe we'll give you guys some cash, something like that. It'll make it super easy since filling out, I don't know, whatever it was last time was too hard to win a $500 goddamn driver. Lazy bums. So maybe we'll just make it super easy with reviews, Twitter handles, and cash. And maybe you could do that. Because we do a lot for you guys, man. Spread the word. Hook us up. Let's go. Reviews mean a lot to us, man. 5 stars, 1 star, I don't give a shit. But whatever. Let's do it. And PGA week, baby. Let's fucking go. And good week, man. We're going to crush those bookies. Let's go.